Father, we thank you. Fill this place with your glory. Fill this place with your power. Fill this house with your anointing. Speak, Lord, and let us hear your voice. Anoint me and use me as an oracle of praise. Let every word that shall proceed out of my mouth today bring liberty to your people. And by your word, let there be deliverance. Let there be salvation. Let there be healing. Let there be restoration. In the name of Jesus Christ, we honor you because you are faithful. For we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone say,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We would read from Matthew chapter 25. I'd love to read from verse number 1 to verse 8. And I'll read also the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1 to 6. Something very, very powerful that the Lord has planted in my heart. I may not be able to preach the totality of today's message for the sake of time, but I'm trusting God that I would drop something in your spirit. Matthew 25, we'll read from verse 1 to 8. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." 1 Samuel chapter 10, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 6. "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find 2 men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father had left the care of the asses and sorrowed for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee 3 men going up to God, to Bethel, one carrying 3 kids, and another carrying 3 loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee 2 loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." Somebody say another man. Can hear you. Say you'll be turned into another man. I want to speak to us today on the subject, the oil is here. The oil is here. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the oil is here. Or say like you believe it. Turn to someone else and say, can't you feel it? That the oil is here. Alright, declare it to the two people by your side. One to your right, one to your left. Say, I just know it that the oil is here. The oil is here. The oil is here. The oil is here. I will go straight into the passages that I've read for the sake of time. In the book of Matthew chapter 25, we are presented with something very unique and very important. And Jesus begins and he says that there are 10 people. 10 people who were similar in every way. The first similarity that we see in these 10 people is the fact that the Bible says that they were virgins. Now, I want you to understand that scripture was not just talking about their virginity for just the sake of talking about it. If you know anything about Bible history, or if you know anything about the Old Testament, you would know that in the Jewish culture and when the people of God were growing up, virginity was very important. It was a symbol of righteousness. In fact, it was so serious that if a lady was to marry and the husband discovers that she was not a virgin before he married her, the Bible says she was brought to the door of her father and stoned to death. It is the reason why Jacob could not put away Leah, because he was the one that took her virginity, even though he did not love her. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Now, so when scripture says here that there were 10 people in that scripture and says that the 10 of them were virgins, what scripture is saying was that the 10 of them were righteous. They were righteous people. They were saved. They had righteousness. They had purity. So we know that they were pure. We know that they were righteous. They knew Christ. The second thing that we are told about them is that the 10 of them had lamps. Now, when scripture talks about the 10 of them having lamps, I want you to understand that what scripture is talking about here, if you look at it from a revelational perspective, is that they knew the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 119 that the word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. So scripture likens the word of God to a lamp. So we know that they were righteous. We know also that they knew their Bibles. They were not just Sunday believers. They were believers who knew the word of God. And the third thing that scripture says about them, the third similarity about the 10 of them, is that scripture says they were waiting for the bridegroom. So in essence, what scripture is saying to us is that they were conscious of the coming of Christ. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So we know that they were saved and righteous. We know that they knew the word of God. And we know also that they were conscious of the coming of Christ. In this time and age where church is no longer focused on the coming of Christ, where it looks as if church is about how much you can get from God, how many cars you can get, how many properties you can get, that, you know, in some setting, people are beginning to liken righteousness and faithfulness to how much you are blessed. The type of car that you park outside determines how close you are to God. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. But, you know, in this passage, we saw that these people, they did not forget that coming to serve God was not about what you can get, but was about the kingdom of God. So we know that they were righteous. We know that they knew their Bibles, and we know that they were conscious of the coming of Christ in every sense of the word. I pastor a church, and if I have a member who is saved and righteous, living a holy life, a pure life, and at the same time knows the word of God, and at the same time is very conscious of the coming of Christ, that's a perfect member. Oh yeah. Pastor, is that not a perfect member? I believe that every pastor would want to have a member who is righteous, knows the word of God, and then is conscious of the coming of Christ, because they will not give you headache. They will know how to behave. They know what the scripture says about a situation, so they can walk on the basis of the scriptures. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. And so when I look at these 10 people, they were perfect in every way. And suddenly scripture began to separate them. And scripture says that 5 of them were wise and 5 of them foolish. And I said to myself, how can someone who is saved and righteous, knows the word of God, and conscious of the coming of Christ be foolish? The Bible says that the 5 of them were wise and the 5 were foolish. And I looked at that scripture and I began to ask myself that question and discovered that the only thing that differentiated the foolish from the wise is the fact that the wise had oil and the foolish had no oil. And so scripture says, because the foolish had no oil, that was the only difference between them, because they were all virgins, they all had lamps, and they were all conscious of the coming of Christ. But 5 had oil. The Bible says in verse 3 that the 5 foolish ones took no oil with their lamps. And for the fact that they had no oil in their lamps made them foolish. Does that suggest to you and I that there are so many people in church today who are saved and are righteous? They're on their way to heaven. They know the word of God. They are conscious of the coming of Christ. And if the trumpet was to sound today, they will make heaven. But are foolish. Foolish because they do not have the oil. And I show you what I mean. It is like having fleet of cars parked in your compound, but you have no fuel to drive them. They become just like a decoration. They cannot be used. It takes the oil to activate the word of God. And if you don't have the oil, the word of God and the promises of scripture becomes like a decoration. Isn't that what we're experiencing today? That many believers have the word of God in their lips as a decoration. By his stripes I am healed. But yet they are dying of sickness. Why? Because the fuel to drive that vehicle is not there. And I'm praying God that the oil will come upon you. I'm praying God that the oil will come upon you. And that's why the scripture says that 5 of them were foolish. So much promises over their life, but they cannot live in it. It is just there. It's like buying the most expensive car. Maybe you buy for millions of pounds and yet you cannot drive it because there's no fuel in it. And I'm believing God that the oil will come upon somebody. That revelation that you have been seeing, those things that God has been showing to you and are yet to manifest, that the oil will activate them. The oil will put them to work in the name of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And I see that the difference between the wise and the foolish is the fact that the wise had oil. And I'm believing God. And I want to say to you that if there's anything that we need in the church of today, it's not another revelation, but oil. There's so much word, so much study Bibles, so much revelations that you need to hear some members open certain scripture and talk to you and you'll be like, wow. But little manifestation. And the difference between what is happening is the fact that we know the word, we know the promises, but we lack the oil. The oil to activate what we know. The oil to manifest what we know. And I'm praying God that in the city of God, the oil will be released. Amen. Every word that you know will be manifested. Amen. I'm tired of noise making. What God did in time past and what God can do in the now. I want to experience it now. And I know that the oil can give it. Someone raise your hands and say, Lord, give me the oil.
Give me the oil.
You need the oil. You need it to get to the next level. You need it to ride upon the high places. You need it to fulfill your destiny. You need it for everything that you'll ever do. Don't go another day without the oil. Because when you walk without the oil, you'll not get there. I need the oil. I need the oil. You need the oil. So the Bible says that the five of them were foolish because they had no oil in their lamps. They had the lamp, but no oil in it. We have a church, no oil in it. You have the talent to sing and your voice is crisp, but no oil in that voice. You have the knowledge to preach, but no oil in that message. I don't know if you've ever sat down and see people do things that you know you can do better than them, but they are more celebrated than yourself. The difference is not what you know. The difference is the oil. When the oil comes upon your life, your God bless you will mean more than 10,000 people saying God bless you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It is the oil. Somebody say the oil. You say the same thing that others are saying, but will carry more weight than every other person's word because you have the oil. You preach from the same passage, say exactly the same word, repeat the same thing that 10,000 people have preached about, but it carries more force because of the oil. You can't play with the oil. You can't mess with the oil. The oil is what we need, and I believe it will come. It will come upon your life. It will come upon your ministry. It will come upon your home. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why I read to you the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10. The Bible says that Saul came in contact with Samuel. And to help you understand that passage, Saul was out with his father's servant and they were looking for his father's donkey. In the process of looking for this donkey, they got lost themselves after a number of days of search, and they could not find their way home. I remember preaching a message when I was still very young on the subject, lost in search for a lost donkey. How you can get lost searching for a lost thing. You know, and the Bible says they were lost and they said to themselves, let us go and find the man of God. And they came to Samuel. When they came to Samuel, they told Samuel what their problem was. We don't know our way home. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. Samuel left bothering about what they were saying, took Saul out, and the Bible says poured oil on him. As soon as the oil came upon him, in verse 1, in verse 2, scripture says, the asses and the donkey was found. The oil touched him in verse 1. In verse 2, the donkey was found. What does that tell you? The oil has a way of bringing back the things you have lost. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I don't know what the enemy stole from you. When the oil comes upon you, everything that you lost will be found. It said you will be told that the donkeys have been found. I don't know who is seated here this morning and you have lost joy, you have lost your health. I don't know what the enemy stole from you. You don't need to pursue that thing. If only Saul knew all this while that they were chasing, if he knew that he didn't need to look for the donkey, he needed to look for the oil. And if he gets the oil, the donkey will be found. Because the oil has a way of recovering everything that the devil stole from you. I'm praying that the oil will come upon you. And there will be a recovery. There will be a recovery. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now when you read the Bible, you discover that scripture talks about, it said the years that the palmer worms have eaten, the years that the locusts have eaten, God says, I am going to what? I can't hear you. I'm going to what? I can't hear you. I'm going to what? Now you will agree with me that everything that a man loses or lost, you can get back somehow. If you lost money, you can get it back. If you lost a wife, you can get another one. If you lost anything you lost, but there's one thing you cannot get back. And that thing is called time. Somebody say time. I can't hear you. Somebody say time. When you lost time, you can get it back. 2007 is gone, and you can't get it back. 2005 is gone. 2000 is gone. But the Bible says that our God is the redeemer of time, is the restorer of years. And so I sat down and began to think, because I know that the oil brings restoration. Somebody say restoration. Can you hear you? Somebody say restoration. Because I'm trusting God that by the oil, somebody here will be restored. Now, when I began to think about it, I discovered that you and I, we are limited by time. What that implies is that I have left 2007 and I cannot go back. I've left 2006 and I cannot go back. But you see, there are things that you left there. In 2007, things that you lost, breakthrough that you missed, opportunities that you lost, and you are trying to get them, you can't get them back. Now, when God says that I will restore the years, I'll show you what God will do. I don't know if I can use someone as an illustration. Pastor, or can you help me? Now, this is me standing here. In 2008, 2007 is behind me, 2001 is behind me, but there are miracles there that I should have had, that I don't have. What God does for you and what God does for me is that while I am still standing here, God will go back for me into 2007, He will go back into 2005. And He can go all the way back to the day that I was born. But I'm there in 2008. Because you see, He said He will restore the years. Somebody say, restore the years. I can't hear you. Somebody say, restore the years. Shout it out. Say, restore the years. So He goes back for me. I'm standing there, but God has gone back for me. There's someone in this service right now. God is going back for you. Oh yeah, I said God is going back for you. And so He goes back for me and goes down to the day that I was born. And then He begins a return journey. Now in His return journey, He begins to look around and say, oh, Moses should have had this. He picks it. Oh, this is what the witches stole from him. He picks it. Oh, he should have had this breakthrough. He picks it. They should have had this testimony. He picks it. And so He gathers everything up and brings it to 2008. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. It's the reason why the Bible says, I think it's in the book of Jeremiah, it said the former rain and the latter rain shall fall together. And I said, how can the former rain, a rain that should have fallen for me in 2001, how can it fall in 2008? Because God has gone back and has picked on all of those rains, and it comes to 2008 and He releases it on me. So what I should have had then that I lost, because of the oil, there is a restoration. I decree over your life that your years will be restored.
Amen.
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 Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's what He did for Sarah. How can a woman in her 90s have a child? If not that God went back to her 30s and revitalized her system. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He went back into her 90s. Is the reason why when they were going into Egypt, Abraham looked at her and said, tell the king you are my sister, because you don't look like you are 90. God has gone back for you. He has renewed your years to make you look like when I first met you. Is someone hearing my voice? God is going back for you to restore your health, to restore your finances, to restore your home, to restore your life, to restore your ministry. Somebody shout
hallelujah.
So we know that the oil brings restoration. And I'm believing God that in this church today, everyone seated here,
Now the people of the world says opportunity come but once, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because our God is the God of a second chance. He goes back for you. And every opportunity that you miss is coming back to you. It's coming back to you. It's coming back to you. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The oil is here. And so we know that the Bible says that the asses were found. The second thing that the oil did for Saul, in verse 2, the last sentence, the Bible says his father left worrying about the asses and began to think of Saul and said, what shall I do for my son? What shall I do for my son? Now, what the oil does for you, the second thing it does for you, it turns the focus to you. Focus moves from everything else and turns to you. All this time, the father was concerned about what Saul can do for him. But once the oil touched Saul, his father became concerned about what he can do for Saul. When the oil comes upon you, favor comes upon you. People begin to think of what they can do for you. People begin to feel guilty if they have not done something for you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You know, they're not owing you, but they see you and they're like, I need to do something for this. Why? It is the oil. It's calling favor from the east, from the west, from the north. And I pray that the focus will turn in your direction. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me share with you something that happened this week. On Wednesday this week, I went into my office just before my Bible study. 5 minutes into the office, our office phone rang and one of the staffs there picked the phone. We have two of them there at that time. And said to me, oh pastor, like this call is for you. And he transferred the call to me. When I took the call, it was a man calling from America. And he said, oh, that some American came to the UK recently and was watching television and saw my program on television and was so blessed, took my details, went back to America and called the office of this man who was calling me now. This man owns a TV station. And said to him, there's a man of God that I watched in the UK that blessed me so much. You need to have him on your television station. The man called me. He said, I am not a staff in this TV. I am the owner. And I'm calling you because somebody who watched your program enjoyed it so much. And it looks like you already have an audience here in the U.S. And I want to put your program on my TV station. You see, the oil has a way of turning the focus to you. Now, you will be surprised how many programs that person who made that call watched when they were here in the UK. But the oil was negotiating my reward. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the man called me on Wednesday and said, okay, we'll talk about it and we'll arrange it. On Friday, I was doing my taping session and from my office, they said, this man is calling. He's disturbing the office. He called more than 5 times on Friday. He just wants the program on his TV station. That's a miracle. That is a big, big miracle. Because if we were going to America to put our program on television, we'll be paying big money. But favor, the oil turns the focus. Somebody say, turns the focus. I can't hear you say, turns the focus. Well, I better start running because my time is running. It turns the focus in your direction. And I'm praying that the oil will come upon you. When it comes upon you, you will enter your office tomorrow morning. And those who once looked down at you will begin to think of how to promote you. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. The oil will negotiate your reward. The oil will negotiate your reward. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, there are many things in that passage. Time will fail me to talk about them because time is running against me. But I'll just share one of them with you. The Bible says, it said, Saul, you will meet some men on your way. They will be carrying 3 loaves of bread. Three men carrying three loaves of bread. He said they will give you two. And they will keep one. You will not ask them. They will give you two and keep one. Now, when I read that passage, I said to myself, it is not logical for three men with three loaves of bread to give two to one man and share one among them. No matter how generous they are, they will give him one and share two among them. But he said they will give you two. You see, the oil has a way of negotiating your reward such that it comes to you bigger than what you can work out for yourself. The Bible says they will give you two and they will keep one. It means that they will give you more than 50%. They would actually give you 2/3 of what they have. When the oil comes upon you, people don't mind giving you more than what they keep. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Because it attracts. Somebody say it attracts. It is your easiest route to greatness. If you read the NIV version, it said you will go forward from here to the great place. So your easiest route to greatness is what? I can't hear you. Your easiest route to greatness is what? It's the oil. The oil is your easiest route to greatness. And the Bible says that he was turned to another man. Now I'm just showing you a few things here because time is running against me. He was turned to another man. So the oil turns you to another man. We need men with the oil. Women with the oil in this church. When you have it, you don't have to make noise. When you stand and you pray, the power will flow. Before you start singing, the glory will fill the house. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The oil is what you need. You have every other thing, but you need the oil. When the oil comes upon you, it will make the difference. By the oil, the blind will see. The lame will walk. The barren will be fruitful. The deaf will hear. We need the oil. Somebody say, Lord, give me the oil. Let me show you something. The oil, the last thing I want to talk to you about, I'm really, really, really rushing here. The book of Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. The oil protects. Somebody say it protects. I can't hear you. Somebody said the oil protects. In Revelation 6:6, hear what the Bible says. It said, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. That's not what really concerns me. The next line is what concerns me. It said, and see, thou hot not the oil and the wine. Let's leave the wine. But hot not the oil. See, thou hot not the oil. See, thou hot not the oil. Thou do no wrong to the oil. Thou destroy not the oil. Thou damage not the oil. Thou hot not the oil. Now, when you read that passage of scripture, it tells you why the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. What God is actually trying to protect there is not the anointed, but the oil in the anointed. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Let me show you something. This is water in this bottle. And you call it a water bottle. Now, if you hot the container, you will spill the water. And so if you hot the container, you would have done damage to the oil. And God would react. Oh, you didn't hear me. So in attempt to protect the oil, God will protect the container. And so that's why he says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Your easiest route to protection or your safest place is to carry the oil. Because when the oil is in you, in God's attempt to protect the oil, he will protect you. Oh, you didn't hear me. In his attempt to cover the oil, he will cover you. Because in his attempt to cover the oil, he will cover the container that carries the oil. I'll show you an instance in the book of Numbers, chapter 12. If you read from verse 1, the Bible says, and this is very, very significant. The Bible says that Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses. I don't know if you know that passage. They grumbled and they murmured against Moses. So what that says to you and say to me is that the two of them committed the same sin. And God was angry with Miriam and Aaron because they spoke against Moses. And God came down to judge Miriam and Aaron. And the Bible says the Lord was furious with them and he came with his anger and the Lord judged them. And when the Lord left, the Bible says Miriam became leprous, but nothing happened to Aaron. Read that passage. Nothing touched him. Miriam had leprosy, but nothing touched Aaron. Even though the two of them committed the same thing. Why do you think nothing touched Aaron? Because Aaron was a priest and he was carrying the oil. Now, even though God is not a respecter of persons, he is a respecter of principles. And God could not violate the rule and the principle of hot not the oil. So God knows that if he hurts Aaron, he will hurt the oil. And God will stand by his principles. So even though leprosy came on Miriam, it did not touch Aaron because of the principle of hot not the oil. Now, Aaron began to beg for Miriam as though he did not commit the sin. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Why? Because the judgment did not come on him. The judgment was standing by. Somebody say it was standing by. I can't hear you. Somebody say standing by. Now, a man who is carrying the oil, judgment finds it difficult. This word to come on him, it stands by. It does what? It stands by. That's why you can't do everything that a man who is carrying the oil does. And say, oh, he did it so I can do it. My dear, you will die. He will still be living. Are you hear what I'm saying? So judgment for Aaron was standing by while Miriam was suffering with leprosy. Because God could not violate the rule of hot not the oil. Now, that window of time that Aaron had, if he had employed the weapon of mercy, he would have been able to avert the judgment. Because the judgment will always be standing by. It's not touching you, not because of you, but because of the oil. And it's standing by, waiting for the day that the oil will leave, so that it can come on you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So that judgment was always there, but Aaron did not employ the weapon of mercy. If he did, then he will avert the judgment totally. Now, he did not, and the Bible says that a time came that the priestly garment was taken of him. As soon as the priestly garment, which was the symbol of his oil, was taken of him, judgment struck. That judgment has been standing there all this while. Now, a man who knew how to use the oil and the mercy weapon was David. David is one of the greatest sinners in the Bible. But yet he was a man after God's own heart. The amount of sins that David committed, Saul did not commit them. David was so bad that he sent a man to war. He took his wife and slept with the woman. He impregnated the woman, brought the man back. Try to make the man sleep with the wife so the pregnancy can be on the man. And the man will not do that. He gave his death sentence in his hands and caused him to go to the war front and be killed. He was so bad. So bad that the Bible says when the king died, they had to go get a young girl to lie by his side. The Bible says when the king did not move, the people say of a truth he is dead. That's how bad David was. But yet, he was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he had the oil upon him. And every time he does this sin, judgment comes but can't touch him. Standing by. He will touch, he can touch every other thing around him, but will not touch him. Touch his son and kill his son, but will not touch him who committed the sin. Deal with the people around him, but will not deal with him. Stands by. Now, David, knowing that judgment is standing by, falls before the Lord and begins to cry for mercy. Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, before he is true, you know, God is slow to anger. He withdraws the judgment weapon. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So your safest place is the oil. You can't walk for God without the oil. You will die before you get there. Your safest place is the oil. You need the oil to go far. You need the oil to be sustained there. We need the oil in the church today. And that's why scripture says it is foolish to go without the oil. It is foolish to believe without the oil. It is foolish to anticipate his coming and try to do it without the oil. If there's anything that this church needs, if there's anything that you need as a believer, it may not be another scripture to believe in, but the oil. When the oil comes, it makes the difference. When the oil comes on you, no devil in hell can touch you. No power can touch you. No force can touch you because your protection is within you. The oil will restore the years. It will restore the lost opportunities. It will restore your breakthrough. It will restore your victory. This is the day for the oil. You are the man for the oil. The oil is coming upon you. 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 It's coming. And when it comes, no devil, no power can change it. The oil is on you. The Bible says he was turned to another man. You will not be the same person that you used to be. It was by the oil that kings attained their positions in Israel. It was by the oil that prophets stepped into their offices. It was by the oil that priests entered their place. He was turned into another man. Just like Joseph. His brothers, the Bible says, when they came to Egypt, he said they could not recognize him. They could not recognize him because he had made contact with the oil. They could not tell who he was. But scripture says he could tell who they were. He recognized them. And I'll show you what was happening there. Because the oil, the Bible says, turned Saul to another man. Joseph had changed so much that they could not recognize him. But his brothers had not changed at all. They were still the same people he left 13 years ago. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The oil has a way of changing you. That people will see you and say, are you that? You look like this, but I don't think you are. You say, oh yes, I am. Same Moses that you used to know. Same Moses that used to play around with you. Same Moses that used to sit in the same class with you. But I've changed so much because I make contact with the oil. When you make contact with the oil, people who know you now, give it another 1 year. They will not be able to recognize you. Because you will not be the same person you used to be. Something will happen in your spirit. Something will happen to your person. Life will change. But it will only happen if you make contact with the oil. I need the oil. When the Lord opened my eyes to this scripture, I began to pray and say, Lord, don't let me go another day without the oil. Don't let me preach another message without the oil. Don't let me make another trip without the oil. Don't let me make another decision without the oil. I need it for my life. I need it to live. I need it to sleep. I need it to preach. I need it to wake up. I need it to do anything. Lord, I need the oil. I don't want to be a foolish believer. I want to be among the wise. I want to be counted among the wise. I don't want to be a foolish one who knows the scripture, who believes in his coming and I'm anticipating it, and yet there is nothing to show for it. There is no evidence in my life. The promises of God, the scripture, they are just a decoration. I quote the scripture every now and then. that he became poor, that through his poverty I might become rich. Let the weak say I'm strong, and yet I'm very weak. You know, and the promises of God are just better decoration. I need the oil to drive the vehicle of these promises, to bring me to the place of fulfillment. That oil is what you need. That oil is what I need. And the oil is here right now. It's here right now. It can come upon you and it will make the difference. It will affect your family. It will affect your life and affect everything about you. I want you to bow your heads right now and say, Lord, I need the oil. Open your mouth. We don't have so much time. We don't have so much time, people. My time is up. I'm on about 5 minutes over time right now. I want you to just pray briefly and say, give me the oil. 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 The oil for my ministry. The oil for my messages. The oil for my songs. The oil for my prayers. The oil for my marriage. The oil for my home. The oil for my... Lord, I need it. I need it, Lord. I need it now. Whoa, I need it, Lord. Ooh, I need it, Lord. Karabo Shahi. Give me the oil now. Let it flow. Flow like a river. Whoa, I need it, Lord. Flow like a river. Flow like a river. Ayara, fill my heart. I need your oil now. Oh yeah, the Lord said to say to you, the oil is here. The oil is here. Somebody take it now. The oil is here. Oh, take it now, Mandeli Rosa, Yekeru Dabaha. The oil is here. Whoa, you can make the contact. You don't need another connection. All you need is the oil now. It's flowing now. Oh yes, it's flowing now. Oh, because when it comes on you, people will seek to connect with you. You don't need anyone to introduce you. All you need is the oil. Oh, when it comes, when it comes, when it comes, oh, when it comes. When it comes, when it comes, it makes the difference. Oh, it will set you on high. Give it back to me. I need a miracle. Give it back to me, Lord. Every opportunity you should have had in the years past, every breakthrough that you missed, every victory that the devil stole from you is coming back. It's coming back. Oh, it's coming back. I say it's coming back. Oh, yes, it's coming back. Whoa, bring it back. Hey, Losa. It's coming back. It's coming back. Whoa, it's coming back. I say it's coming back. Bring it back, Lord. Bring it back, Lord. Restoration in the house. We need it now. We need it now. We need it now. We need it now. Yorobo likimaya rabo sotoya.
Don't stop people, just ask for the oil. It flows, flows like a river now. Father, don't let me go another day without it. Let us save kuda hido do se fikibo. Ayenuna hida no se fikunda hi. Ayenino no son te fikunama. Indeli neni no soto pleni vegezos. I need it, Lord. I need it, Lord. Ooh. Oh, yes. 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 Fill us with your oil. Oh, yes. Let it drip from our head to our toes. Let it flow from the altar to the pews. Let it flow like a river, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes, it will bring your healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. 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 Oh, Maria, de Paradaboso, Teleria. Neri ando rararosa, oni ri andararosa, lende brada babosa nararabo, oni ri andebosa, need your Lord right now. We'll lift our hands, bow our knees, worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands. I lift my hands. Walk by, I bow my knees and worship at your throne. I need you. I need you, Lord. Need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right now. Say it again. I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Right now. Right now. I worship you.
I worship
you. By my name.
By my name.
Oh, to worship at your throne. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Say it again. I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Right now, right now. I lift my hands.
I lift my hands.
And bow my knees.
I bow my knees.
Worship at your throne. And
worship at your throne.
I need you. I need you,
Lord.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord, right now.
Let's say again, we need you, Lord, we need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
Right now, right now. We lift our hands.
We lift our hands.
And bow our knees.
And bow our knees.
And worship at your throne.
And worship at your throne.
We need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord, right now.
Just before I hand over to Pastor Bright. Pastor, just give me another 5 minutes. I want to pray for people who are saying, man of God, I want to do exploits for the kingdom.
I know that I can't do it without the oil. I have gifts, but I need something that is more than these gifts to drive these gifts. We all have gifts, but we need a driving. I tell people that I am not experiencing what I'm experiencing in my life because I preach better than people. No. The oil carries you. It brings grace. In my TV taping on Friday, I was preaching a message titled The God Factor. And I said that the difference between race, R-O-A-C-E, and grace, G-R-O-A-C-E, is the G factor. And that G factor is the God factor. When you have the oil, where others are running, grace carries you. It carries you. It puts you on the finishing line when others are just starting. The oil can deliver grace more than you can ever dream of, and can change you just like that. And I'm going to ask you where you are. You're saying, man of God, I don't want to remain where I am. I believe that to get to the next place, I need the oil to get there. There are things that I need to happen for me that only the oil can give. I want you to raise your hands, and I'm going to pray. Oh, we love you. Father, pour the oil for the next place. That oil that makes us the focus, that will make these people the focus. The focus of the land, the focus of the city, the focus of the nations. Lord, pour the oil. The oil that restores. Pour the oil. The oil that negotiates a man's reward. Pour the oil. The oil that takes men to the place called great. Lord, pour the oil. The one that makes life's journey a forward journey. Pour the oil. The oil that could make the difference in their lives. Let it come, I pray. Father, that beginning from today, beginning from this hour, that there will be a release of that oil in measures that is beyond their comprehension. Measures that is beyond their understanding. Measures that is beyond their comprehension. In the name of Jesus Christ, that these ones will not walk another step without the oil. For every step of their life, let the oil that lubricates, that glides and slides a man to their place of destiny, let it come upon them. I pray for the city of God. May this church never run dry of oil. Oh yes, may it never run dry of oil. Lord, may this church never run dry of oil. In the name of Jesus Christ, that your grace will be multiplied here. I thank you for this opportunity. And I thank you for your word. Because you will not send a word to a people that don't need it. Every word that you send to a people, it is because they need it. Lord, I thank you because you have spoken to people here today. And I know that from this day, they will live and operate in the oil. And by it, they will be saved. Blessed be your holy name. We have prayed in Jesus' name. And everyone say,
amen.
Thank you.